coming to you live tonight with the weekend Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you from Washington, D.C. And Happy New Year to everyone. There's been a lot that's been going on the last few weeks, and we'll get right to talking about several of these items. I want to talk tonight about what's happening in the state of Illinois. There's something very, very suspicious going on with what's happening with mostly Democratic governors. We've now seen Governor Blagojevich being taken down. He's trying to appoint a replacement for Senator Obama. The more we hear about Patrick Fitzgerald, who is anything but Elliot Ness. Patrick Fitzgerald is a fraud. He's a dirty prosecutor. If he was worth his weight as a prosecutor, Scooter Libby would be in jail right now, not for obstruction of justice and perjury, but for exposing a covert CIA operation. Patrick Fitzgerald's father was a doorman on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. He was a doorman when he was on his vacation, summer vacation from Harvard. Patrick Fitzgerald is a doorman. He's still a doorman. Some people would say he's a doormat, but the more I see Fitzgerald, the more I'm seeing a dirty prosecutor. Look, Blagojevich probably is just like every other governor of Illinois and every other mayor of Chicago. He's had his hands in some pretty questionable activities, but this is like shooting fish in a barrel. When it comes to Mr. Fitzgerald, though, they always say a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. He can't even get an indictment of Blagojevich. He had him arrested on a criminal complaint. Now he wants 90 days for his investigation. That tells me Fitzgerald doesn't have this guy. He can't get a grand jury to indict Blagojevich. And I'm beginning to smell something else at play here. Blagojevich appointed a former attorney general in Illinois, Roland Burris, an African-American, to the seat. But I think other people like Mr. Rahm Emanuel want others appointed to that seat, people who can be better controlled, perhaps more Israeli-occupied seats in the United States Senate. We'll get to that, because that gets right into this Gaza genocide that Israel is committing. We see the same thing in New York with Patterson, Governor Patterson. All this hullabaloo about Caroline Kennedy going into the Senate. Look, these individuals like Rahm Emanuel never liked Kennedy. They didn't like Kennedy's father, Joseph Kennedy. That gets back into some issues between the Kennedy family and the Bronfmans about prohibition and other issues, political issues. Look, this is vendettas. These are vendettas, and I'm beginning to smell a big fat rat with what's happening to Blagojevich, what happened to Elliot Spitzer. I think it's the same elements that are working against these Democratic governors. They're the same ones that went after Gray Davis, the governor of California. So we have Democratic governors, California, New York, Illinois, going down one after another, three huge states. Look, this is not accidental. Add to that Governor Siegelman in Alabama, and you have got a major conspiracy. Anyway, we will be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, live from Washington, D.C.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup. And if you would like to call in to the program this evening, the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Okay, Illinois. Governor Rod Blagojevich wiretapped his office. Let's just put it this way. I believe that Patrick Fitzgerald didn't have a valid court order for these wiretaps. Now we know about NSA, the National Security Agency's illegal wiretapping program on U.S. citizens called Stellar Wind. That was classified, and thanks to an FBI former prosecutor with the Department of Justice, we now know what the classified title of that program was: Stellar Wind, SW. It was classified at the highest level you can imagine: signals intelligence, SI material, special intelligence. This is what it was classified as, because they did not want it out that the U.S. government, the Bush administration, was committing illegal wiretaps against American citizens. Now, it doesn't take a stretch of any imagination to figure out who was being wiretapped. Obviously, I believe Governor Blagojevich was being wiretapped. Governor Spitzer of New York, how did they know about what he was doing at the Mayflower Hotel with a call girl in Washington? Wiretap. And now we find out that Michael Chertoff pulled the security clearances for Homeland Security information, federal security clearances, for both Spitzer and Blagojevich. What gives Chertoff the right to pull the security clearances for the governors of New York and Illinois? Look, this guy Chertoff is a Mossad agent. His mother was a Mossad agent. She was an LL stewardess. I think it's high time the American people stand up and say, look, we've had it with Israel. First of all, the Mossad is a hostile intelligence service. Ask any credible person in the FBI and the CIA what they believe about Mossad, and they say, we work against them. They're a hostile intelligence service, which means that Israel and the United States do not walk in lockstep on national interests. Israel is a competitor to this country, and I would go one step further. What we see happening in Gaza right now, Israel is an illegal regime. It's a genocidal regime, and you want regime change, let's do it in Jerusalem. First of all, let's get the Israeli government out of Jerusalem. That should be an international city. Move them back to Tel Aviv, where they belong, and make Jerusalem an international city where Jews, Christians, and Muslims can all have a stake. And I'm not religious myself, but look, it's a religious city to three major religions. Get the Israelis out of Jerusalem. And then we can start talking about maybe some peace. But as long as it's one-sided, we see this carnage in the Gaza Strip, where women and children, hundreds of women and children being massacred by U.S. weapons. U.S. weapons. That is an outrage. And Gaza will now go down in history with names like Sobibor, Auschwitz, Dachau, Buchenwald, and other places. I think it's high time the American people stand up and say, no more aid to Israel, military, financial, or otherwise. Let's go to Tom in Illinois. Tom, are you with us?
Yeah, Wayne, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. I just wanted to bring up, I find it was no coincidence that a few hours after Blagojevich, who I have low use for, but, you know, when he said he was going to stop doing business with Bank of America.
Oh, right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And then the indictment came out that evening. Gee, what a coincidence.
He gave his support to those workers who took over that window factory in Chicago.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. And who did that upset? Well, look, we're not going to do business with Bank of America. Well, who is he upsetting? That crowd in New York, Bernie Madoff, who made off with $50 billion. And now we got this Ezra Merkin, who's a buddy of Madoff, and he's the head of GMAC. That's going to get they're going to get a loan. I mean, where's the outrage here?
They get $25 billion Bank of America, and they're not loaning it to anyone, which is what they were supposed to do originally. And as
absolutely
much of a tool as he is, he's right.
Well, look, like I say, you can go back and it is interesting though when you look at the governors of Illinois, except for George Ryan. I think the reason that Fitzgerald went after Ryan was First of all, George Ryan, he got him for stuff that he supposedly did as Secretary of State. But what did Ryan do? He had the temerity to commute all those death sentences, and he cited police and prosecutorial misconduct in Chicago and Springfield. Now, who was Ryan talking about? Fitzgerald's buddies, the cops, the judges, the dirty prosecutors, the dirty lawyers. Well, you can't have a pharmacist, as George Ryan was, talking about those lawyers that way and those judges. And, of course, you know, I mean, of course he went after Ryan because of that. But look at the other Illinois governors that went down the tubes. You had Otto Kerner. You had Dan Walker, very liberal, progressive guy. All those two guys went to jail. Then Ryan, and now Blagojevich. But isn't it funny? Two Republicans in a row. Jim Thompson, who was on the 9/11 commission, you know, he lied his way through that.
Yeah, don't remind me of that, please.
And Jim Edgar. These two guys were as corrupt as all the other governors, but because they were Republicans, they were friends with Reagan and Bush, Poppy Bush, nothing ever happened to them. You talk about selective prosecution. I mean, I think we're seeing that in droves right now in Illinois. And look, this guy Fitzgerald, I said he's a doorman. His father was a doorman on the Upper East Side. And, you know, the people live on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. They're the buddies of Bernie Madoff. They're the buddies of Ezra Merkin. That's Henry Kissinger that lives up there. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what boots Patrick Fitzgerald is licking. I mean, look what he did. He let Scooter Libby off the hook. Libby should have not gone to jail. He should have been put under the jail for what he did. And I think it's really ridiculous what we're seeing right now. I mean, where's the outrage? But anyway, you're absolutely right. What's happening in Illinois is look, let me tell you about Roland Burris. I don't know much about his background. I know he ran for statewide office. He was attorney general. He was comptroller. He failed in a race for governor against Blagojevich, incidentally, and he ran for the Senate. But look, this guy Burris, the Senate cannot refuse to seat him. The only thing that the Senate can ask him, are you a resident of Illinois? Are you of age? Which, of course, he is. He's in his 70s. And are you a U.S. citizen? And the Secretary of State of Illinois only needs to certify that information for the Senate. He cannot block it. It's not within his purview to do it. I'm beginning to smell Rahm Emanuel and Harry Reid behind some attempt to steer that. See, now we know that Reid called Blagojevich and told him who he did not want Blagojevich to appoint. So this thing is getting. I'll tell you, I think Blagojevich is going to have the last laugh here. I don't know. What do you think? You're in Illinois. Hello, are you still with us from Illinois? Oh, okay. Well, he left us. Okay, well, we're talking about Blagojevich, of course, and I think we haven't heard really his side of the story, but he said in a news conference, I'm dying to tell my side of the story. So I think we're going to hear a lot more from the governor. And we see this media frenzy, and I'm always very suspicious about the corporate rat pack media. They all run together, and they all give the same talking points. And Fitzgerald's his darling. I'm telling you, Fitzgerald is dirty as they come. I'm going to have a lot more about him on my website, Wayne Master Report, this coming week, because I've looked in his background in New York City and also in Illinois, and there's going to be there's a lot of stuff on Fitzgerald. He's no Elliot Ness. He's a mess, but he's not Elliot Ness. Let's go to Ruth, who's also calling in from Illinois.
Hello, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. There's a couple of things you need to know. George Ryan took over after Thompson. Thompson was the crookedest governor we ever had. He had three or four terms, 12 years. And George Ryan took over after him. He was and didn't have enough time to really clean up the crooked mess that Thompson left. Thompson was busted for stealing from the Abraham Lincoln Museum. He was stealing the pictures off the wall and the autographs and furniture. They made him put it back.
Yeah, and isn't that amazing? We have Fitzgerald editorializing in his news conference about, oh, Blagojevich is trying to sell the seat of Abraham Lincoln. And we have Thompson selling or stealing Lincoln memorabilia out of a museum.
He's an antiques buff, and the Abraham Lincoln antiques turned him on. Now, I need to get to Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald has designated his next target, and that is Governor Richardson of New Mexico. Obama's appointee for Secretary of Commerce.
Right.
And that's going to be interesting because Richardson is handling the back channel negotiations with North Korea.
That's right. And let me tell you about Bill Richardson. Bill Richardson's chief of staff called me when I wrote that, some years back that, Richardson's phone calls with Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State at the time, were being intercepted by the National Security Agency. Richardson, his chief of staff, said, "Look, he really loved reading that. He suspected it was going on." And I met Bill Richardson earlier this year, and he actually said, "You know, you were right about that." Now, look, if they're listening to Richardson's phone calls, Governor of New Mexico, who else are they listening to? I bet you Blagojevich, Spitzer, and the rest were all being set up. We have a short break, but I'm going to keep you on, Ruth, from Illinois, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson with the Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C., in the beginning of the new year, 2009, and a few weeks away from the inauguration of Barack Obama as the next president of the United States. We have Ruth on with us from Illinois. Ruth, I want to play this clip of Governor Blagojevich introducing Roland Burris, if we can cue that clip up.
Sure. Roland,
thank you very much. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy New Year. Feliz Navidad y prospero año nuevo. The people of Illinois are entitled to in Washington, D.C.
Here we go.
As governor, I am required to make this appointment. If I don't make this appointment, then the people of Illinois will be deprived of their appropriate voice and vote in the United States Senate. Therefore, I am here to announce my intention to appoint an individual who has unquestioned integrity, extensive experience, and is a wise and distinguished senior statesman of Illinois. This man actually once was an opponent of mine for governor. So I'm here today to announce that I am appointing Roland Burris as the next United States Senator from Illinois. Roland Burris is no stranger to the people of our state. Between 1979 and 1992, he served the people of Illinois as the state's comptroller and the state's attorney general. He has had a long and distinguished career serving the people of Illinois. He will be.
There's no question about it. I think Roland Burris is qualified. And, with Obama now leaving the Senate is now an all-white club. And if Harry Reid has the sergeant of arms prevent Roland Burris from entering the Senate, I just am kind of reminded of George Wallace standing in the schoolhouse door at the University of Alabama to prevent, an African-American student from entering the University of Alabama. Is that the kind of message that Harry Reid and his other colleagues in the Democratic caucus in the Senate want to send? I don't think so. And it'd be nice to hear Obama start talking about this because Bobby Rush, who was Obama's congressman from Chicago, was at that news conference. He basically said, if you keep Burris out, that's going to send a racist message. So here you've got Obama's congressman, Bobby Rush, you've got Blagojevich, and you've got Burris standing there, and Obama saying, well, he doesn't think that Burris should be admitted. I mean, what kind of message does that send? Look, I know Obama wants to be the president of all the people, but my God, let's be sane in this matter here. I mean, there is nothing wrong with Roland Burris, but I have a funny feeling that it's Rahm Emanuel and that crowd that want to get somebody else in that seat. What do you think?
Can I help you with that? Rahm Emanuel wanted a seat warmer appointed who would be available to step down when Rahm wanted to step in. And
that makes a lot of sense. Right.
Didn't go for it. And he appointed Roland Burrs, who was the first African-American to win a public office in Illinois back in the 70s. And this man was so straight that if he sneezed crosswise, it would have been on front page newspapers in the state everywhere.
Right,
so
and
you
I have a funny feeling that Emanuel wanted somebody like Jan Schakowsky or somebody else in there, as you say, a placeholder for him.
Right, so keep it warm until he'd done what he wanted to in D.C. and then step back. When Blagojevich endorsed the workers at Republic Windows, you're talking revolution. When the government starts backing the workers, the powers that be or the money people get panicky because that's revolutionary talk.
I think you're absolutely correct on that. But anyway, hey, thanks. We've got some other callers holding
along.
On. But thanks for the calling in, Ruth, from Illinois. Let's go to Cody in Georgia, who's on the line.
Hey.
Are you with? Hi,
yes,
Cody.
I'm here. Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Love your show. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just had one quick question, and I can listen off on the air. I just wondered if you thought that this was the crisis that they were saying that Joe Biden and or if this is going to escalate into a crisis with Iran or something, the Gaza ordeal, if that's what Joe Biden was talking about or Colin Powell was talking about, if you think if this is it, what's going on?
It may be. Obviously, Israel's presenting this as a fait accompli. Right before the inauguration, the Bush administration, who they've had in their hip pocket for all these years, they're totally worthless right now. They're just echoing Israeli propaganda talking points. So Israel obviously is making their move now. It's quite clear, too, from the head of the UN Refugee Agency that Israel broke the truce with Hamas. It wasn't Hamas breaking the truce. Israel broke the truce.
Right.
That means Israel's the aggressor here. And all the belly aching about, oh, Hamas fired rockets. Well, Israel broke the truce and Hamas went back at them. And, it's quite clear that our media is totally controlled by the Israeli lobby. Let's face it. Let's stop pretending that it's not, when people wake up to that fact, maybe we can actually be more effective in the Middle East than we are right now. But anyway, I do think that this is staged to present a major problem for the Obama administration. But, you've got this coalition or cabinet of rivals. You got Hillary Clinton, who's owned by that Israeli lobby. You got people who are more pragmatic, like Bill Richardson. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess because they're going to have this problem right when they take over.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Night Roundup, coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. And we have Kathy holding on the line from Louisiana. Are you with us, Kathy?
I am.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. I was calling in to ask you something. It's somewhat off topic, but it does have something to do with intelligence and Israel, as you spoke about earlier, and I can explain that. But I wanted to know, since you're so knowledgeable, have you ever heard of an organization called the 9/11 Finding Answers Foundation, IFA?
I may have heard of them, but give us some more information.
Well, I discovered them today, this NEFA, 9/11 Finding Answers Foundation, and it's a really suspicious foundation. It looks like it's a disinformation campaign, and it also appears to have links to another company, a now defunct company, which had gotten in trouble with the FBI and the Department of Justice. It was called Rosetta Research and Consulting Limited Liability Corporation. They were both based in Charleston, South Carolina. But I think that you should definitely take a look at those. Those are some really interesting organizations, and I was wondering if you had heard about them. They've got
players on both of them. Right. There's a lot of these outfits. I have to say that after 9/11, there was a big attempt to collect a lot of intelligence. We know some of the things. We know how the FBI grabbed the videotapes from around the Pentagon. But basically, this was a cleanup operation. I mean, it's becoming very clear who was responsible for 9/11. And if anyone thinks it was 19 hijackers, half of them I think are still alive. in Egypt or Saudi Arabia or Yemen or wherever. If anybody thinks it was those 19 hijackers that did that with box cutters and brought down a multi-trillion-dollar U.S. military and intelligence system, I got a bridge to sell these people that goes from Brooklyn into Manhattan. It's just not plausible.
This NEFA, 9/11 Finding Answers Foundation, which is connected to the Rosetta Research and Consulting Company, this Rosetta had gotten in trouble, so it's now defunct. But according to the Washington Post, their creation in 2003 was to assist a mammoth legal case filed on behalf of victims of September 11th attacks by tracking the flow of terrorist-connected money.
Yeah.
You're probably familiar with that case.
Yeah. That was the worst ambulance chasing case that I've ever seen. This was where the Saudis were sued for $1 trillion by a law firm who claimed to be representing the families. What really happened was people who were being sued would come forward and say, look, what does it take to get me off that list? Well, it's going to take some money. Well, who pockets the money? The law firm pockets the money. All this coterie of people around the law firm pockets the money. The families don't get a cent of that money. But this is ambulance chasing. It was the worst case of it that I've ever seen. Worse than, where a lawyer, pulls a guy out of a car after an accident and says, here's my car, do you want to sue this person that ran into you? It was the worst, absolute worst. And it would be really nice if the Justice Department actually brought some people in to look at some of the scams that took place. And not only that scam, but let's look at this guy Feinberg, who gave money to the families of the World Trade Center. But where was the money for the families of the Oklahoma City bombing? What about the embassies in East Africa? What about the USS Cole? They were never offered any money, but all these people in the Trade Center were offered, I think it was silence money, to keep their mouths shut. And this guy Feinberg said, well, if you make so much money, you'll get this much, but if you were a janitor in a Trade Center, you won't get so much. I mean, who is this guy Feinberg even? I mean, there was so many scams like this. It's outrageous. And I think people need to just wake up and smell the coffee. But Kathy, hold on a second. I also want to play this clip from my friend Cynthia McKinney, who was on this boat, the Dignity, that was trying to deliver medical supplies to Gaza. And listen to what happened to her and the crew and the journalists on board, including CNN and Al Jazeera. If we can play this clip, the second clip from Cynthia McKinney.
26 minutes after the hour, continuing our breaking news coverage of the crisis in the Middle East. And earlier this morning, we told you about a 66-foot pleasure boat, the Dignity, which had been trying to deliver medical supplies, urgently needed medical supplies, to Gaza City. That boat, while according to our CNN reporter Carl Penhall, who was on it at the time, was in international waters, was rammed by an Israeli patrol boat. And there you see the boat itself had to make way back to Tyre in Lebanon as it was taking on water. Also on board that craft was former Georgia Congresswoman, former presidential candidate, Cynthia McKinney. She joins us now via the Internet from Tyre in Lebanon. And Congresswoman McKinney, can you tell us what happened? We had our Carl Penhall saying that you were in international waters, clearly in international waters, when accosted by and confronted by these Israeli patrol boats.
Well, I wouldn't call it accosting. I would call it ramming. Let's just call it as it is. Our boat was rammed three times, twice in the front and one on the side. But let me also state for the record that what we experienced earlier today pales in comparison to what the people of Gaza are experiencing right now as we do this interview.
Right, but let me
our mission was a peaceful mission to deliver medical supplies. Well, and our mission was thwarted by the Israelis, the aggressiveness of the Israeli military. Now, one of the things that I would like to ask President-elect Obama is to say something, please, about the humanitarian crisis that is being experienced right now by the people of Gaza. I would like to ask my former colleagues in the United States Congress to stop sending weapons of mass destruction around the world, as we are about to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. Let us remember what he said. He said that the United States was the greatest purveyor of violence on the planet. And guess what? We experienced a little bit of that violence because the weapons that are being used by Israel are weapons that have been supplied
well,
Congresswoman by the United
McKinney,
States government.
Congresswoman McKinney, if I could you describe what happened? Was there any warning given by the Israeli patrol boats? We're hearing some reports out of Israel that they were trying to stop you from coming into Israeli waters, and that the Dignity, the captain of the Dignity, tried to maneuver around the boat, and that's when the collision occurred.
As you can see, I'm standing beside a pleasure boat. What the Israelis are saying is outright disinformation. But I recall that there was another boat that was attacked by Israelis, and it was the USS Liberty. And people would like to forget about the USS Liberty, but I haven't forgotten about it, and the people who were on that ship have
well,
not
there,
forgotten
there we
about
have it
what
with
happened
Cynthia
to
McKinney,
them.
Also just trying to talk over the CNN guy, because I'll tell you what's going to happen Monday when Wolf Blitzer comes back from his vacation. Wolf Blitzer, who's a shill for AIPAC and a shill for the Mossad and the Israeli embassy in Washington, Wolf Blitzer is going to really give that guy John Roberts a hard time for allowing Cynthia McKinney to hold her own, and she did, and she was very effective. And what she mentioned about the Liberty, of course, that's something nobody wants to talk about. You know, Israel's a friend of ours, an ally. They attacked a National Security Agency vessel in 1967, killed 34 sailors, injured over 100. They wanted to kill them all, and they said they made a mistake. No. You know, if I were the president of the United States, unfortunately, it was Lyndon Johnson who cared more about getting the Jewish vote in the 68 election than in helping those Navy guys and those National Security Agency guys. If I were the president, I would have launched an immediate air assault on Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and every other major Israeli city, and they would have thought twice about hitting a United States Navy ship in the future. Anyway, what do you think about that, Kathy?
No, I totally agree with you. And, you know, that goes back to this NEPA Foundation that I was looking at. It's a 501c3 organization, and they have people linked to this Rosetta Research and Consulting Company, but there's nothing on this website at all about Israeli art students. They claim to be experts about the, you know, narcotics trafficking, which funds terrorism and such forth, but there's nothing on here about Israel at all.
Right. Well, I could tell you that whether it's the art students or the mall kiosks or the movers, these people never wanted to look into any of that. I mean, that's just the way they operated. It was an operation run out of the Rumsfeld Pentagon and included all the usual players over there, Douglas Feith, and God, I can talk about him till the cows come home. But anyway, that's what we were dealing with. I also want to mention that there was a shooting of two Israeli mall people in Odense, Denmark, by a Palestinian. And look, what I know and what the NSA and the FBI and many other particular agencies know about those Israelis that operate these mall kiosks. They're intelligence agents. And, hey, look, you know, if I saw people in my homeland being massacred, they're combatants. They were in Denmark only a couple of weeks. These Israelis that run these mall kiosks are up to no good. Look, I'm not saying I like people being shot, especially in a shopping mall, but look, when you live by the sword, you might die by the sword. So I wanted to make mention of that fact as well.
Yes, I remember hearing. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no, I wanted to
go
say
ahead.
I was also aware of the mall kiosk shooting, and I haven't. Everything that I read, the media once again made no mention of the fact that those guys were probably intelligence assets because they are here in the U.S. You know, they operate in malls near the Pentagon, near Fort Meade, and they have not been rounded up.
No, and just like the art students, they nothing was done there. Nothing was done with the movers in New York and New Jersey. We're seen taking stuff in, moving stuff into the World Trade Center before. Look, it's quite clear they were wiring those buildings up. They were wiring Building 7. They were wiring the South Tower, the North Tower. We know that Larry Silverstein, who's a buddy of these crooks like Madoff, and like Merkin, and like Mukasey. You know, the Attorney General, Mukasey, had to recuse himself from the Madoff case because his son, Mark Mukasey, is with the law firm Bracewell Giuliani, who's representing one of Madoff's crooks. I mean, this country is absolutely lousy with these people, and we need to get rid of it. You know, I mean, I don't know what to do, but I mean, the financial system has been taken over. The media has been taken over. The Congress has been taken over. I mean, this lame excuse to keep Burris out of the U.S. Senate is just more of it. And they've got access to our phone calls. They're wiretapping governors. They're wiretapping senators and members of the House and God knows who else. Except, why aren't they wiretapping the people on Wall Street like Merkin and Madoff? Maybe if they had wiretapped them, they wouldn't have been able to make this $50 billion heist. And we know where the money is. The stores and the restaurants in Israel are full with people. That's why they're all vexed. They're all vexed about missiles, you know, these rockets coming in. These aren't even guided rockets. They're being shot. They're homemade rockets coming in from Gaza. But see, they've got all the money. All the money went to Israel. That's where it's sitting. It's Merkin bought the Bank Leumi from the Israeli government when Ariel Sharon was the prime minister and Olmert was the finance minister, and all of a sudden Sharon's in a coma. Come on, I mean, that's a convenient coma, isn't it? Somebody ought to slap Ariel, because you know what the name of one of Merkin's funds was, his hedge funds? It's called the Ariel Fund. Ariel Sharon. I mean, we got to get real about what's going on here. This is disgusting. And Israel's a criminal state with a criminal syndicate running it, and now they're committing genocide in Gaza. Look, you know, the Middle East, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and right now I'm with the people in Gaza because I know that my country has seen at least $50 billion stolen by these people in Israel, and we've got to wake up, I think, and smell the coffee.
Well, Wayne, I just wanted to let you know that I'm looking online, and the latest news from over there, the media is saying that Israeli ground forces have just entered Gaza. Their tanks have just gone into they've actually launched a ground offensive.
Right, and this is going to drag on into the Obama inauguration, and I think what we're going to see is Emmanuel becomes White House Chief of Staff. It's going to be business as usual. The U.S. will say it's a Hamas's fault. It's the Palestinians' fault. Israel, poor little Israel, with all of their 400 nuclear weapons and all their American airplanes and all the other stuff they're using to kill these defenseless people. You know, that's just business as usual. Well, I think I agree with Cynthia McKinney and others. It's time to wake up and figure out what's going on, because what's happening in Gaza is connected to what happened in New York with these the heist of billions and billions of dollars, the collapse of these securities companies and on Wall Street, the bailing out of GMAC, what's happening to Blagojevich, who came to the defense of those strike, those workers who took over that factory and went after the Bank of America. It's all wrapped up together because you find Rahm Emanuel's fingerprints on all of it and his pals. And I think, you know, that's basically it. And if people don't like it, if people say that's mean, that's anti-Semitic, I'm sorry, let it be that way, but that's the truth. And if you don't like the truth, that's like Jack Nicholson said, right, in A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. And these people can't handle the truth. And that's all there is, you know, to say about it. I'm sorry, but, you know, I've tried to be somewhat even-handed in this, but when you see women and children being massacred at a street market in Gaza with American weapons, yes, Americans, if you're a loyal American, if you have an American passport, I think you got to say something about it.
No, I think that you're right, and I thank you for, you know, your work as a journalist and trying to actually cover some of this. I see with this 9/11 Finding Answers Foundation, they actually have a member of the Washington Post on their side, and he looks kind of shady as well. His name is, help me with his name, Douglas Farah, or is it Farah?
Oh, right. Actually, yes, he's he was with the Washington Post. I'm not sure he's still with the Post, but he actually did some good reporting. I'm surprised he got wrapped up. Yeah, he got wrapped up with that. I'm surprised. But you know, anyway, listen, Kathy, it was good to have you on with us from Louisiana. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Wayne Mattson. We'll be right back from Washington after this short break. Welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson. Sorry for the little glitch there, but anyway, I wanted to also, before we wrap up here, I want to play this other clip of this guy, J. Ezra Merkin. Now, this is the guy who was the head of GMAC, who bought the bank Lumi from Sharon and Olmert. Now GMAC's getting a bailout. Look, you know, no more money for these guys. These guys are crooks. You know, GMAC, you know, what is this, a bank that makes cars? You know, this is ridiculous. But let's just listen to this short briefing on Fox News about Mr. Merkin.
The widening reach of the $50 billion Madoff scandal has now grabbed hold of academia. New York University is suing Ezra Merkin for investing millions of university dollars with Madoff. Adam Shapiro is live outside Merkin's apartment in Manhattan with more on this. What's the latest, Adam?
Well, the latest is that there's a temporary restraining order up until, I believe it expires January 6th, forbidding Mr. Merkin from destroying documents in regards to his investments with Mr. Madoff and his funds, the Gabriel and the Ariel funds. New York
okay, there you have
lost
it.
$24 million.
There you have it. The Gabriel and the Ariel fund. I have a funny feeling Ariel may be named for Ariel Sharon. I just wonder if this guy's actually in a coma. I mean, that's very convenient. It's sort of like Bill Casey, the CIA director, having a going into a coma the day before he's supposed to testify about Iran-Contra on Capitol Hill. Really convenient comas we see with some of these people. But anyway, before we break, Sophia's calling in from California. Let's squeeze you in before we hit the top of the hour here.
Well, Happy New Year. I say,
same to you.
Hope it's a good New Year, Wayne.
Well, I hope so.
Listen, you know, well, I love the way you draw the connections and you sketch out the whole picture. And maybe next time, maybe not this time, but I would love to see you draw the Rahm Emanuel and Chertoff and Mukasey's connection to surveillance of Americans for Israel, and the way the governor of Illinois is being his wiretapping of his conversations for Israel, and everything seems to be the fusion centers are listening to our phone calls and our emails for Israel. That's the connection.
Well, I want you to draw more carefully. Yeah, I agree. Look, I mean, what we know about Stellar Wind was the NSA, and this is, you know, why was Michael Hayden given the CIA directorship? It's because Michael Hayden went along with this illegal operation. I wonder what they wiretapped on him himself. But anyway, we've got a disgusting situation here where, you know, governors being wiretapped. I mean, it's clear what's going on. But anyway, that'll do it. Thanks for calling in from California, Sophia. And that'll wrap it up for this week with Wayne Matz Report, the Saturday Roundup. Join us this same time next week from Washington, D.C.